J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
When a man meets the woman he loves, everything changes. His heart races, his head spins. And suddenly, all the dozens and dozens of women he's sleeping with no longer matter. A few years ago, I found the woman I love, and I've put some of my feelings into this little ode. Every man needs a woman, and I need you. To lift me when I am sad, to comfort me when I am down, to clean me when I am drunk, to walk beside me when I want to look like I am not gay. To walk in front of me when I need someone to act as a human windbreak. To kiss me when I am horny. To massage me when I am tense and or horny. To make me horny when I am not horny. And then to watch me fall asleep. I need you, darling, to clean between my toes when they are not clean to my satisfaction. To pick the nits out of my hair when I have head lice. To try milk for me when I am not sure of the expiration date. To be there when I need you to be there, and to be out of town the rest of the time. My darling, although it may seem sentimental, I want to take this moment to tell you I love you, because I don't want to lose half my stuff. Good night, my love.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, June 7th, 2022, 156 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How are you doing? You're at jcontheline.com. Yeah, well, we might make it another 156 days. This thing Thursday night, I know I've been talking about it. I'm going to talk about it some more because, I don't know, I've been watching this Watergate, the first two parts of this Watergate series that started on CNN. They ran it, I think it was Sunday night. Didn't get a chance to watch it on Sunday night, so we got it on demand last night and watched two parts, two-hour thing last night. And it was reliving a lot of memories I wish I didn't have to relive. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Dean, Nixon, you know, and you see John Dean. And John Dean doesn't mince words. I mean, he admits that he screwed up and that he broke the law and that he realized he was breaking the law and that he went to prison and he's not dodging it at all. He's one of the few people at the center of this whole thing back in the early 1970s that, you know, didn't come up with a bunch of excuses and just took his medicine. And, you know, now a guy like him knows where all the bodies are buried. And if you're CNN, you're thinking to yourself, well, this guy already went through almost exactly what we're going through right now, where one person and a bunch of sycophants basically got together and said, we're just going to try to circumvent the laws of the country, and we're just going to do this ourselves, and we're going to try to remain in power. And in the case of Nixon, it was really complicated because they got $3 million in hush money, in cash, sitting in a safe in the Oval Office. You know, come on, come on. What did they expect? 18-minute gap on the tape of the recording, the whole thing. And you're watching this, and for people who weren't around, you know, my wife is 46. She wasn't even born yet when the Watergate scandal started. And so remember, like, if you are, I'm in my 60s, right? So if you were thinking back to when you were, I don't know, 30, 35 years old. And somebody started talking about Eisenhower or Harry Truman or something like that. These seemed like they might as well have been cavemen. It's like, what possible relevance could that have to my life, talking about some guy who was in the federal government that long ago? And you're a kid, you're young, you're stupid, and you don't understand why history is important to know. Because as it's been observed many times, if you don't learn from history, you are destined to make the same mistakes over and over again. And that's what we got right now. So you got John Dean, who's written some books lately and is a great political pundit. And he's seen all this before. He knows the mindset. And so you get this thing on Thursday night. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, by the way, the January 6th committee is going to step forward in prime time on Thursday night. And they're going to spill their guts. They're going to begin spilling their guts. This is just the first of a series of these hearings. And man, oh man, I mean, I don't even know what to expect, because we've already, as we mentioned yesterday, we've been through the Robert Mueller thing. We thought that was going to be the end of Trump. And of course, Mueller comes along and did what he did, or a lot of people would say didn't do what he should have done. But all I can say is, here we go. Here we go. Customer service in this country stinks. And I know I'm not exactly breaking new ground with that story, but I had an up close and personal event yesterday. I'm trying to get my daughter a St. Louis Cardinals t-shirt. We're down here in Florida right now, coming back to St. Louis in a couple of weeks, but we're down here in Florida. One of the reasons we're here right now is because, I didn't want to come back yet. I want to see these games at this Tropicana field. I haven't been in that place since the 80s when it was first built, and there wasn't even a Major League Baseball team in the place yet. It was another one of those buildings that they built first and hoped that somebody would move in. They had a pretty good idea that they were going to get a baseball team from MLB, but, it's still a leap of faith. So I remember I shot a TV special that won the only Emmy I've ever won, and it was a thing called JC Went to Cardinal Spring Training, and all we got was this lousy TV show. It was a half an hour special, and it ran in prime time on Channel 5. And so I came down here for a week and was shooting at Al Lang Field. We interviewed the fans and Tommy the singing vendor. Remember that guy? And we did a whole thing with Tom Brunansky, and we went to the original Hooters. And the special, by the way, was criticized by some people who were writing in some magazines that nobody reads, so it didn't really bother me too much. But I remember one headline was Cardinal Spring Training Special Not About Baseball. Like, nobody ever said it was. Anybody, all the sports guys do that. They come down here a month early. It's still like 50 degrees in Florida. They haven't even played any games yet. And the sports guys all come down and they do the exact same special. Every single one of them, they do the same thing every year. We're going to have a good squad this year. I'm 100%. We can just play our game. Just because a guy can hit a baseball 465 feet does not mean he's an interesting interview. And so every year, every local television sportscaster comes to Florida and does exactly the same special. So I said, okay, well, we're going to do some baseball stuff. I still remember we had Tony Pena, we had Tom Brunansky, who was the right fielder we got in the Tommy Herr trade with Minnesota back in the prehistoric ages. Did a bunch of stuff at the field, a bunch of stuff with the fans. I didn't want to make the same special that all of the sports guys make. I wanted to do something different. When John Hewlett and I used to come down here all the time to Florida for spring training, I always said it is absolutely essential that we have a wireless microphone down on the field, because we're on the air. It's 7 o'clock in the morning in Florida and sun is barely up. Players are there, but they're in the clubhouse. Those guys get there real early, by the way, especially during the Tony La Russa era. And oh man, you walk in there at 7 o'clock and those guys have already been there an hour. It's dark outside. And so I, remind John on the plane on the way down, I would always say, now remember, we are the eyes and the ears of the St. Louis Cardinal fans. And this is not something I had to explain to John. He understood. But I just, you know, we like a production meeting on the plane. You know, we just talk about what we're going to do and just remind ourselves what we are here to do. And our job, you know, you got to remember, it was 35 degrees back in St. Louis. I remember once we, I think it was one of the last times John and I came to Florida together. There's 4 inches of snow that fell in St. Louis overnight. Our taxi was sliding around all over the place. You know, John drove to my house, left his car at my house. We got in the cab, and they drove us to the airport. The streets hadn't even been plowed yet. 4 inches of snow. We're sliding around all over the place. And we get to Florida, and it's like 92 degrees. So like I was saying, I said to John, you know, we're the eyes and the ears. For all those people stuck back in St. Louis, they're listening to us because they can't wait, not only for baseball, but also for the temperature to warm up a little bit. And we're in Florida. And one of the things we do, because we've got an FM signal, obviously, we put that microphone down on the field because we're up in the press box and it's very antiseptic up there. We get that wire or wireless, as the case may be, as the years went on. You put that microphone right down on the field and you hear the lawnmower going. You hear the guys cleaning the spikes. And then a little bit later on, now you start hearing some rustling in the dugout and you hear a guy, you know, you maybe Red Shandings back then starting to hit fungos and you just hear bats and balls sort of rattling around. And all that stuff is in the background while we're doing the show. And it was absolutely essential that we convey that spirit of being in Florida while everybody else was stuck back in St. Louis in the freezing cold. It's amazing how many people don't get that. People in sports radio do not, because they think they're the star. They go, well, we got an interview with Jim Lindemann, so that's going to be our big calling card today. It's like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. They'd rather hear us telling some dumb story about something we saw at the game the previous day, or, you know, some goofy interview with somebody down there. But like I was saying, you'll see that ballpark tonight, and one of the weird things about it, especially weird 30-some-odd years ago, most of them odd, when I first shot this thing, because it's like, something's wrong. Did it collapse? What happened to this stadium? Well, what happened, and I'm sure you'll get a shot at the beginning of the game tonight, the Trop, it's got a crooked roof. It's a domed stadium, but it's got a crooked roof. Crooked? Crooked roof. And the reason why is, and I think this was brilliant, by the way, you know, air conditioning is expensive, especially when you are trying to cool a giant baseball stadium and it's Florida and the sun is beating down on you. And some engineer said, you know what? If nobody objects, I think I can save this organization a lot of money on air conditioning. Really, Bob? What's your idea? Well, if you're at home plate and you swing, and even if you hit a ball really, really hard, really, really long, really, really high, the trajectory of that ball can't possibly hit a roof as it's coming down in the outfield. You need to have a high roof above home plate and above the infield. But once you get to the outfield, that ball is always going to be coming down, not going up. Therefore, we don't need the roof to be as high in the outfield as it is in the infield. Therefore, if we build a roof that slopes like a 45 degree angle, you save all of that money on air conditioning that you don't even need up there. It's going to look a little funny from the outside, but we get the last laugh because we're saving all of this money. And somebody said, that's a great fucking idea. So you see that crooked roof. So anyhow, so we're going to the game tonight, taking my family, my daughter and her friend and my wife. We're going to go to the game. And of course, you know, when you got a 12-year-old, everything is last minute. There's no foresight. Should have gotten on Amazon last week or the Cardinal team store, something like that, and gotten her, you know, and her friend some hats and shirts and stuff like that. No. That would make too much sense. The night before we're going to the game, all of a sudden, we need hats, we need shirts. Well, guess what? There's no Cardinal t-shirts in the state of Florida. You might go to the game and maybe they'll sell you a hat outside the stadium, but, you know, there's a couple of team stores and stuff like that. But to get a shirt, not a chance. But before I knew that, I got on the website for the Dick's, which is right down the street here. And I figured, well, you know, maybe they got something. Who knows? And that's when you realize how short-sighted the guys who put the internet together were. I mean, we all know about, remember the Y2K thing in 1999, because somebody, when they were conceiving of all of this, only put the last two digits in for the year, and then they're like, what happens when we go to the year 2000? All of our computer code is going to be useless because it's going to think it's 1900. So, of course, the entire world went on a mad dash. Everybody was scared shitless thinking that the entire internet, which runs, you know, everything, the power grid and everything like that, everybody thought that was going to go down. And luckily, there were really very few incidents where the Y2K thing produced any sort of problems at all, because people went on a mad dash there for 2 or 3 years. Hey, we get the movie Office Space out of it, all right? That's what they were doing in a tech. They were updating code. So we know that. We know that cluster. The other thing is, you realize there's no such thing as an apostrophe in an internet address. Because when I get online and they tell you, you know, for more information, go to dicks.com. So I go dick apostrophe s.com, and of course the screen pops up and says, there's no such thing. I'm like, well, they just told me. Oh, that's right. And that's when you realize the difference between dicks and dicks. What should be D-I-C-K apostrophe S in reality is D-I-C-K-S, which is not dicks, sporting goods. Dicks is the plural of one dick. This is the most inane discussion I've ever had with myself. Anyhow, we couldn't find any t-shirts. And so we went to Michael's and got red t-shirts, and they're decorating them themselves. And so the Cardinals and the Rays at the Trop for the next 3 days. Oh, and by the way, you could see this coming a mile away. St. Louis Board of Aldermen want an investigation now of where the Rams lawsuit settlement money is. You saw that coming. The Rams just made Aaron Donald the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. 3 years, $95 million. And another Walmart guy is buying it up with a sports team, Denver Broncos. Former Walmart chairman and the current Walmart CEO submitted the winning bid, $4.5 billion to buy the Denver Broncos. And Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina are going to be starring in a new ad for InBev, something having to do with buds. And then you submit something, and you and your friend, your best bud, can go to a game, something like that. You can look for that. And then, of course, you have the Deshaun Watson story. There are now 24 women who are accusing him of assault or sexual misconduct. Who the hell does he think he is, Bill Cosby? All right, I want to play something for you because this always surprises people. Now, this is a show tune. I'm playing this because this is where I was back in 1996 on this date. Now, I'm just going to play something for you here. Listen to this, and then we're going to talk about it.
A guy like you, she's never known, kid. A guy like you, a girl does not meet every day. You've got a look, that's all your own, kid. Could there be two like you? No way. Those other guys that she could dangle all look the same from every boring point of view. You're a surprise from every angle. Muncha above, she's gotta love a guy like you.
Now, you have a little rewind button at jcontheline.com if, for some reason, you want to go back and listen to this again, because you're going to, because I'm about to tell you that was Jason Alexander. Yes, as in Seinfeld. That was him singing. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, what? Who knew he could not only sing, but sing well? That is from the motion picture soundtrack of The Hunchback. And that's where I was on this date back in 1996. And one of the things they did is they took us to the Disney Animation Studios. And you figure, well, it's going to be some sort of, you know, guided tour. And it wasn't. They just basically turned us loose. It was a Sunday morning, and we're walking around the animation desks and cartoons that were clearly, you know, in the middle of being created when the whistle went off on Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock and everybody went home for the weekend. The guy just got up and left and figures, all right, come on Monday, I'll finish the cartoon. So you're standing there and you're looking at these things. There's animation going on right in front of you. All these little drawings. There were, oh my God, it must have been 100 little desks and guys who are sitting in there, men and women, doing animation for Disney. And then, of course, I got a chance to interview Jason Alexander, and he was nice, and he said he basically did the movie because his kids were growing up, and you hear that from a lot of stars who end up doing voices on animated movies. They're like, I want my kids to be able to know what their mother or father does for a living, and I can't get them to sit there and pay any attention to what I do, but if they hear me in a cartoon, maybe they'll go, ah, my old man's actually pretty cool. That's him. Santana played the Muni back on this date, 1985. Remember when they used to do concerts at the Muni, and the Beach Boys on this date, 1986. And then 1997, I was in Los Angeles on this date for what was a troubled production, because you'd had the Batman movie in, 1989 with Michael Keaton. And I've lost the chronology of the entire thing. All I know is in 1997, it was George Clooney's turn to play Batman. And the reviews were not good. The reviews were not good even before the movie was released. There was talk of difficulty on the set of the movie. Not because he was doing anything wrong or anything, but it, for some reason, just didn't seem to be working very well. Something I had a chance to talk to George Clooney about a couple of years later with the benefit of some hindsight.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Superstar actor George Clooney.
In what little time we have left here, sum up the Batman experience for me.
Great experience for me. Probably the rest of the world won't agree. For the studio, I'm sure disappointing, although it did make a lot of money. I think for me, creatively, I think the movie was in some ways disappointing, but I don't know whose fault that is, and it might very well be my own. But I had a great time making it, and I had a great time being part of a big franchise like that. I'd never done that before, and that was exciting.
Again, 1997, when George Clooney's star was really, really starting to rise. And that was a pretty hot interview. Getting him on the air back then was a big, big deal. Plus, he knew that I knew John Goodman and a couple of other people like that. So I was sort of automatically cool, or as cool as I get under the circumstances. All right, some more show business news here. Dave Chappelle donating all ticket proceeds from his stand-up gig in Buffalo to the victims of the May 14th mass shooting. No word on the exact amount, but it was a sold-out show. 3,000 people. That's got to be a big chunk of change right there. A copyright lawsuit seeking to have Top Gun Maverick pulled from theaters. Good luck with that. The original film was based on a magazine story, and the heirs of the writers say they've regained the rights to that story, so the sequel is unauthorized. All right, late night tonight, everybody's back. Melissa McCarthy and Henry Winkler. I'm with Jimmy Fallon, Kimmel, we don't know the guests, Robert De Niro and Rosie Perez. I'm with Colbert, Patrick Schwarzenegger on with James Corden, Adam Sandler pops up with Seth Meyers, America's Got Talent, NBC, and the series premiere of That's My Time with David Letterman, another Netflix series. Dave invites up-and-coming stand-up comedians to perform a set, and then they sit down with him for a chat. I'll give it a shot. It doesn't sound like anything that I'd be very interested in, but you never know. Speaking of Adam Sandler, he got a black eye from a mishap involving his cell phone and bed sheets that were tucked in too tightly. Okay, that makes no sense at all. I'm going to dig that up, find out what the hell that story even means. I'll get back to you tomorrow on that. Martin Scorsese says he regrets not working with Ray Liotta again after Goodfellas. He says they always wanted to, but it just never worked out. This Nikki Glaser thing. I love Nikki Glaser. I think her stand-up stuff is a riot. She's really, really funny. Grew up in Kirkwood, as everybody knows. And, you know, the way we heard the story originally was that she was, because of the pandemic, she was going to move back with her parents in Kirkwood and then write a television series about the experience of a very, very successful stand-up comedian who has some sort of a scandal and a fall from grace and is forced to move back in with her parents in St. Louis. That's what the show was supposed to be. And somewhere that got derailed, because that show's great. That show sounds fantastic. Okay. Somewhere along the line, it got derailed and it just turned into a reality show. And I hate reality television, and I don't like this at all either. The only reason I bring it up here is because before his death, apparently Bob Saget recorded a segment for Nikki Glaser's show, and that is going to air. They don't say when. I'll try to find that out for you, too. And we have a previously unreleased Queen song with Freddie Mercury that's coming out in September. All right, birthdays today. Well, it would have been the birthday of Prince. Emily Ratajkowski. Well, boy, now we're talking a little on the skinny side, but oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. 31 today. Iggy Azalea, who apparently now when you're a female singer, the size of your ass has a lot to do with whether you're successful. Can you imagine back in the 70s, Linda Ronstadt, Joni Mitchell, Judy Collins, having to be half naked on stage to be successful? The whole thing seems so silly. And for all the talk there is about women, you know, being mistreated, which is all 100% legit as far as I'm concerned, and women being reduced to a cultural stereotype and as sex objects and everything like that, these women, the generation of this, you know, going on right now, these female singers, they're not fighting it at all. They're complicit in the whole thing. So I don't think that they have any right to complain about it because they're in on the whole thing. I guess it was Madonna who really started all this. Michael Cera is 34. Anna Konnikova is 41. Bill Hader, formerly of Saturday Night Live. That Barry show is bizarre. He's 44 today. Dave Navarro, 55. Mike Pence, Donald Trump's least favorite vice president, 63. Liam Neeson is 70. Jenny Jones, remember her? The talk show host, 76. And Sir Tom Jones, what's new, comma, pussycat, question mark, is 82 today. And one of the most historic days in the history of electronics took place on this date 47 years ago today in 1975 when Sony came along with something called the Betamax. Video cassette recorder. It cost $995. Now, those of you who are not around, Betamax, you know, like, what's a Betamax? I remember VHS. Well, here's what happened. One company comes out with Betamax, another company comes out with the VHS VCR. The Betamax was far superior in terms of clarity, sharpness of picture, and stuff like that, but it had a 2-hour recording time limit. The VCR came along and they're like, you can record at 2 or 4 or 6 hour speed. And that was all people had to hear because they're like, well, why should I limit myself to 2 hours when I can go 6? I still remember I went to the electronics store in Omaha, Nebraska, where I was at the time working at Johnny Carson's old station, WOW. And I went across the river to Council Bluffs, home of Trish Brown, former Channel 4 meteorologist, by the way. And they had a playback there. That was an electronics chain back in the 70s and 80s, playback. And I laid down my $1,000. I bought one blank VCR tape for $26. And I went home, said it had a remote control, which was a remote control connected to a very long wire, which plugged into the back of the thing. But I didn't care. And if you're like me, your experience was similar in that you took the thing home, plugged it in, started watching, started recording, and then it occurred to you, I can watch porn on this. And that is exactly what I did. You'd go to the video rental place, but you didn't have to go sit in a theater anymore with sticky floors sitting behind Pee Wee Herman. You know, you could do this all in the privacy of your own home. And not only sprouted an incredible rise in electronics, people making VCRs like crazy, but it also sent an electric charge into the entertainment business. And when I say entertainment, I mean porn. and the entire industry. You know, the movie Boogie Nights was really about the transition from film over to VCR machines and the ripple effect that it had in the entire entertainment industry. All of this on this date back in 1975. And finally, a major study found you may be at greater risk of more than 100 health problems if you're taller than 5'9". What a fantastic start to the month of June for Tom Cruise, huh? And with that, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast, Tuesday, June 7th, 2022, 156 days remaining in our democratic system of government as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning just after 7 with the podcast. Everything is archived. You may email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I'll wave to you tonight from Tropicana Field in Tampa, Florida. You have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.